Okay. So in May, we do focus in on mission. And traditionally, we focused in on global mission. And as part of May, we've always had a financial project that we've liked to support, or at least one. Last year, we supported, or will help raise support for Owen Ames in what he's doing, and I want to give us a bit of an update about that at the end of this month. This year, I thought it would be good, given that our nation is thinking about the voice and Aboriginal and Indigenous kind of things, that we could focus our efforts on raising funds for a ministry that might help us contribute as the church does. So I have explored a few options. And actually, Leo, could you just throw up that slide that I didn't talk to? It's got an Aboriginal kind of flag in the church news. I think it's there. So what I thought we could do this year is, as you know, our church has a connection to the Aboriginal Berean Church, which is in Cheltenham. And that's their building there on the right-hand side. They've been there, I think now, from the top of my head, Glenn, is about five years. And they're a small congregation. Any one Sunday could be 12 people to 40 people. But they actually are one of two Aboriginal churches in Adelaide and have a massive kind of ministry community. Lots of people, sadly, in Indigenous communities, do it tough. So personally, I am good friends with the leadership, and Don and I would speak most weeks. He's the pastor at the church. I go there every third Sunday of the month, so that's next Sunday night. And I come prepared now, because they'll often, when I get there, say, oh, could you preach today? So I make sure I at least have a sermon up my sleeve. But also, one of the other things that I try and do is live stream their service, because people in remote communities don't necessarily have a church, but they definitely have a mobile phone. Weird, isn't it? So they'll actually watch the church service on their Facebook page. Anyway, if you go there, they're probably not keeping up with keeping their place clean and tidy. There's a few maintenance projects to do. And I thought Big Week Out is looking for a job. So Big Week Out is a bunch of young people serving in the community. So that's where we're going to go this year. Is we're actually going to go to that church site in Cheltenham and have a whole bunch of young people help clean up the site, help paint things that aren't too important. Sorry. I'm a little particular on painting. But one of the other things is, you can see there's a really big hall on the right-hand side of that building, and there's a long wall. And I said to Don, there's nothing about this building that says this is an Aboriginal community focus. They minister all people, but Aboriginal. And I said, why don't we paint that wall so you can put a mural up there? And same with the inside. Anyway, they've got a whole bunch of stuff that needs to be done. So that's the Big Week Out in our young people. They'll supply the labour. Who's supplying the materials? And that's part of what I want us to do as this month's project, is raise money so that we can pay for the skip bins, pay for the paint, pay for probably AV upgrades, which I'll look out for, pay for some electricians to come and do some electrical work there, because their wiring is weird, probably dangerous, etc. So this month's project, and I'll email people in our church further details this week, but this month's project is focused on raising the funds so we can pay for the materials so our young people can do all the hard work. It's a win at so many levels, isn't it? I know parents heard young people do hard work. That sounds like I'm in, right? But it's such a good thing, and the church really can maximise their property even more if we're able to help them kind of use the rooms a bit better. So that's this month's project. I'll tell you more as the weeks go forward. If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Acts chapter 8. We're continuing our little series in talking about being a witness for Jesus. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 25. Saul, who we now know as the Apostle Paul, approved of a guy called Stephen being killed for his faith. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered through Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. And when the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he had performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. And he boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave them their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria, and when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, and he said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." And Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." And then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." And after they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Father, as we speak to this today about reaching our Samaria, Lord, may you encourage us. May you open our eyes to people who are close to us but not like us and still need to know you, Jesus. And thank you that we can say today that you're already doing this kind of work in us. So we're grateful for that and use it to spur us even more onwards, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus does say to his followers, you're going to be my witnesses, and you're going to go to Jerusalem and Judea, and then a place called Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And that, as I said last week, is kind of like a helpful outline for us. in terms of, it tells us where we might be witnesses in our own lives today. Like, we can be witnesses in our Jerusalem and Judea, as in people who are in our home, or people who are our friends, people who are close to us where we are. And then people who are in Samaria, and I'm going to speak to that today, people who are close to us but not necessarily like us, and then going to the ends of the earth beyond our borders. In our church, if I just go to the next slide, you'll see that if we were to talk about what that means for our church, we're invested in our schools in our area. That's close to us. We're invested in our families and friends. We're invested in terms of our community and larger, wider areas, so the Aboriginal Bereans or Baptist Care. And then globally, through missionaries like the Ameses or Baptist Mission Australia or Baptist World Aid. So what does it mean if we were to witness to the people who are like Samaritans? Well, Philip, we heard today, this follower of Jesus called Philip, went to the Samaritans, but did you notice what it took to get him there? Persecution. It took persecution to get Philip out of Jerusalem, out of Judea, into the next neighbouring kind of region, which is called Samaria. Even though Jesus had told his followers, you're going to go to Jerusalem, you're going to go to Judea, and you're going to go to Samaria, it seems that no disciple up to this point had thought, you know what, we need to go to Samaria. We've done the Jerusalem thing, we've done the Judea thing, well, let's get on and get out to Samaria. It seems like no one had thought about that until Philip gets kicked out of town along with all the other Christians, and then he went off to Samaria. Why was it so tough to get these followers of Jesus to go to the region of Samaria? Because they weren't friends. They didn't like each other. They had a bad history. These Samaritans, which is north of Jerusalem, they were unwanted immigrants. They'd been there for a long time, from about the time of when the Assyrians ruled. And they were setting up camp and they co-opted the Jewish religion. And they set up their own temple at a place called Mount Gerizim. And they said that we're the true inhabitants of this area. And the Jews went, no, you're not. You're not truly of God. You're not the true Israelites. And so they didn't like each other. And it went both ways. The Jews didn't like them, and they didn't like the Jews. So Jesus goes to visit a Samaritan village in Luke chapter 9. And this is what it says. He sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading to Jerusalem. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? Not a lot of love lost, is there? And Jesus says, yes, of course I do. No. Jesus turned and rebuked them, and then they went on to another village. Oh, that's just one little occasion where the Samaritans weren't very happy with Jews, and it gives us a glimpse. So it takes persecution to get Philip out of Jerusalem and into Judea, into Samaria. And when he gets to Samaria, he discovers, shock, that the Spirit of God is ready to do some amazing work. We read that the crowds heard Philip speak about Jesus, and they saw the signs he performed, and they paid close attention to what he said. Because with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. People were paying attention, and there was great joy in that city. And people became followers of Jesus. And people were set free. It took persecution to get Philip into Samaria. It takes this amazing work of God to get the apostles into Samaria. They heard about all this. All this shrieking and carrying on and people becoming Christians in Samaria. So up Peter and John go to find out what's going on. And they pray for these new believers, and they pray that God's Spirit might come into them. And clearly something happened. They probably spoke in tongues, just so you know. Something happened that everyone could see. Simon, the sorcerer dude, wanted whatever they were given. But the apostles only go because the Spirit of God does something spectacular in a rubbish place called Samaria. It's the only one reason why they go. So it takes a persecution and it takes a powerful work of the Spirit to convince the followers of Jesus that they should be obedient and go to Samaria. I wonder if we have a modern day Samaria in our lives. Are there places that you find it tough to go? Because when it comes to the Jerusalem and the Judea part of our life, that's home turf. These are the people you are familiar with, that you like, you hang out with. You don't need to be told to go to them because you're already with them. But deciding to go to Samaria might take a persecution or a boot up the backside to get you out of your comfort zone and go to people who are close to us but who are unlike us. These are people we don't normally live with. They're outside our culture, outside our experience, possibly even people we don't like, if we were to think about the Jews and Samaritans. So who were our Samaritans? If you did missiology at Bible College, which I happen to do, there's this principle called the homogeneous unit principle, which means like reaches like. People who are the same as each other talk to each other and more likely to reach each other. And that means, it's kind of sociologically true, but that means when I was youth pastor here, I was running two youth groups. I was running a church youth group with church young people and their friends who were like church young people but didn't necessarily go to church. And then I was running another youth group at Unley High School with people who didn't have any church friends and wouldn't ever come to church because they didn't have any church friends, and our church young people didn't really like because they were either, well, they were naughty. So I ended up running two youth groups while I was the youth pastor here. Why? Because of the homogeneous unit principle. I couldn't seem to convince the two to join together. It was just too hard, so I just thought, I'll blow it. I'll run one at Unley High and one at Unley Park Baptist. And it's easier, in a way, to do that. But we can be in all of this like-reaching like, which makes sense and is easier, we can actually miss out on reaching the people that God loves, that are close to us, but are unlike us. We can miss out on those people. By the way, this is a really valid reason why when you go to churches, they're very monocultural. I don't say it's a bad thing, it's just a thing, isn't it? If you go to an African church, there's one just down the road here, guess who's got that church? Africans. Right? This makes sense. If you go to a Anglo church, Anglos, etc., etc. But we miss out, don't we? We miss out when we don't connect with people who are close to us but unlike us. And when they don't get to know about Jesus, that's a bad thing because we think that God loves the whole world, including them. So who are our Samaritans? Who are people who are close to us but unlike us? And how does God lead us to them? Turns out God's already done that in this church. God's already led us to people who are close to us but unlike us. You might be very familiar with the fact that we have an Iranian church that worships here on Saturday nights. We are connected now with all the schools that chaplains are in. Our church is quite connected to them. And the plain truth is, most people who go to our public high schools do not go to church. In fact, some are very glad to not do that, but more are really glad to know that the church is contributing in their school. And it's a good thing for us to be involved, because they're not your friends. They're not my friends. But we should be. They're close to us, but they're unlike us in a sense. So we should be going to them, and that already happens. We already have a bunch of our young adults who go out on a Saturday night and hang out on Heine Street and probably observe behaviours that they wouldn't want to do themselves, but they're very glad that they're there helping in their street chaplaincy that they do. We already have a connection with an Aboriginal church. How did God do that? How did God get us to these Samaritans? Fortunately, we didn't have to be persecuted, but we did have people like Philip. That's how we got there. We had people like Philip. Somebody in our church had a heart for these modern day Samaritans. Someone like, is he still here? Someone like your dad, Jane, Alan. I heard his voice. It's out the back. Right. So Alan was teaching people English, and then he started a Sunday Bible class, which he's in right now. He's been doing that for a long time. I'm suspecting now 20 years. It's a long time. Is that right? And this church wasn't really interested in, just to be honest, wasn't really interested in, as a church, doing what Alan was doing. But Alan, if you know Alan, is a pretty stubborn dude, and he doesn't care what you think. I just did it, right? And then over the years, I rock up, and we're all trying to figure out how to help Alan come back on the team. I'm just speaking the plain truth. I'm not telling you anything that isn't unknown. But on the way through, we formed some friendships with some young Iranian Christians, and they're trying to figure out how do they do church. And I become friends with them in particular, and they figure out, well, why don't we come here? We like this church, we like Alan, and we like Jason. And so they worship here. And I'll be honest, Only Par Baptist, they couldn't do what they do without you. They couldn't. So Alan was the Philip. I'm going to mention him again, but Josiah is a Philip for getting our crew into Heine Street. Who was interested in going on Saturday night between 11 and 4 in the morning to help drug-affected people out? No one. No one was interested in that, except for Joe. And off he goes and he starts recruiting. And it also has happened through not just the Philips and opening up things that they're interested in for us, but also through intention. So Christian has been quite involved with a group called Engage Work Faith. And I have seen that as a very strategic place, because they work with professional people in the marketplace. And guess how many people in our church are professional people in the marketplace? A lot. So it makes sense to get along on board with Engage Work Faith, because they can help us in an area that we need help in. Working in schools may not have been on Only Park's agenda that much, but it was on my agenda because we've got a bunch of families and young people who are involved in schools. And the more that we can encourage Christian presence in school, the more encouraged our young people and children feel. And also, the more that the wider community believes in our church. They go, oh, wow, you. So I'm only telling you this so that you know. Every year we budget roughly $2,500 to fund kids who can't go to programs, school programs at Black Forest Primary, right? And we're now wanting to see if we can expand that to other schools. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That was on purpose. That's not an accident. That's what they call a strategic step. That was on purpose. All right. Now, the thing with Phillips and people who do these kinds of efforts and take us to places like the Samaritan places is they can't go alone, even though if you've ever met a Philip, they always go alone. Isn't it weird that all the Christians get kicked out of town, Jerusalem and Judea? Where did all those other Christians go? I don't know. They probably went to Bethlehem. They probably went to Nazareth. But Philip, cantankerous Philip, thinks, oh, I'm going to Samaria. Get out of town. I'm really getting out of town. And the thing about the Philips, and I actually am a Philip, so you know, I'm not going to just pick on an Alan in this life. I'm actually one of these people too, and I come from a long line of Phillips, as in my parents. We love going alone. We love going to places no one else is going, no one else is interested in. We love it. But actually, Phillips can't go alone. They need the church to follow, and they need the church to embrace what God is doing. Did you notice that when the apostles hear about what Philip's doing, and think, oh, seems God's doing something in Samaria, they send off the two bigwigs. They're not nobodies. They're the important ones, Peter and John. And they go up and check it out. And it's actually Peter and John who do some proper work. Philip must have opened the doors and did all these crazy miracles. But actually, Peter and John did some proper work. They settled people down. They helped them follow Jesus. They made sure that they knew what they believed in. Got them filled with the Holy Spirit the proper way, or whatever that was. They did some proper work. They supported them. They released them. They owned them. These aren't just Philip's people and his crazy work. This is our church, our work. And when the church goes, everything gets richer and deeper and bigger than Philip could have ever made it. Our Iranian church is a good example of that. Alan does great efforts, but Alan is one person. Alan also doesn't speak Farsi and doesn't understand Persian culture. So now what we're seeing is we're seeing roughly 12 key Farsi leaders who are being discipled by, unbelievably, a pastor from Germany. I help them on the leadership and running the church stuff. And then it gets deeper because it multiplies. Not everyone is a Philip, but we're all the church. And we can all play our part in reaching the Samarias of our time. That even when people are close to us, but they're not like us, and Philip goes off and drags them in, we can play our part too. And Philip could only take it so far. If you read Philip's story, he's in Samaria for a little while, and then he hooks out of there. I so relate to Philip. Anyone else relate to Philip? There's two of us, great. I relate to Philip. I love change. I love newness. I love adventure. I love risk. Some of you people run your businesses this way, so you know, relate to that. But I love all that. I just know that I need the church. We need the church. When we started Big Week Out, it was an idea of two youth pastors, myself and another guy called PJ. And we just wanted to get out into the community. It would have gone nowhere, if it wasn't for this church and Rose Hill Uniting. It ended up running like 21 years. I cannot believe that. Encounter Youth. So again, that was a bunch of people who had an idea, disconnected from the church. Out lone ranging, doing their thing, just running schoolies. But it would get nowhere without the back in those days, 600 volunteers and partnerships with churches. Schools would get nowhere if it wasn't for the fact that our churches provide funding, provide people, provide morning teas, church. Church is the power. People like Philip just open the door. So we as a church can reach the Samaritans of our time by supporting, by praying, by welcoming, by embracing, by being the church. And I wonder as well, as you think about this idea of reaching the people who are like Samaritans, who are they to you? Who do you find it tough to reach, or who is close to you but they're not like you, so it's a bit odd for you to be connecting with them? In your workplace, it could be, like I remember, Dan, you telling me about the tradies and the amount of swearing that goes on in the sites and the kind of conversation. And that's, thankfully, Dan, not the way you roll. But that puts a gap. It's kind of work to go, oh, yeah, let's build connection here. Could be your neighbours. We're so not connected to our neighbours nowadays. I grew up in a Maori family, raised with Aboriginal people in a Pentecostal church, in the poorest Pentecostal church in Noolunga. Who do you think my people are that I find it really tough to connect with? Could it be people who live in Unley, go to Unley High School, go to university, become professionals? People that our world see as successful. That's my Samaritan land. Coming down the hill from the Lunga to this amazing, it's beautiful really, but this place was a Samaria for me. Isn't that crazy? And you know when I feel the most relaxed and the most myself is when I'm with strugglers and battlers, when I'm with Maoris and Aboriginals. I'm like the naughtiest kids at the worst high schools. I'm like, oh, it's home. That's my Jerusalem and Judea. I'm like in my sweet spot. My wife notices it when I am in these environments. She says, Jason, you change the way you talk. But yeah, coming to Unley was my Samaria. Hanging out with people like you. But I felt weren't people like me. Now, it turns out, actually, I am these people too. But I remember first coming to this church as the youth pastor. And I often say, I think for the first 3 years, if you listen to my sermons, unfortunately they didn't record them then, they're probably angry. Because I just found it hard to get my head into this church and to this area. But all of this has grown me. It's expanded me. And what I want to say to us all is we all might have people that we struggle with that are like the Samaritans in our life. But when God builds us, builds the bridges between us, then you discover that people are just people and that they're not the sum of your prejudice and that God's interested in them, loves them, is at work in them already, and he wants to use you too. So, I don't know who your Samaritans are. I suspect it's all the people that I grew up with would be a pretty strong start. If you came with me, say, next Sunday night to the Aboriginal Berean Church, you'd be sitting there feeling a little awkward. That's what I'd suspect. If you came to my parents' church and hung out with them, you'd feel, oh, this is not the way I'd like to do church. I think if I took you down to a Pentecostal church and sat you through that, that would be stretching for you. I don't know. But there are people who are close to us, but not like us, that Jesus is sending us to be his witnesses to. We definitely need Phillips in our church to help us get there, but the church can play its part as well. I want to finish by asking you this. Are you a Philip? you don't need many Philips. All right? So if there's just two here today, then that's cool. And it'll be more than probably a few, a handful. But are you a Philip? Do you have a heart for reaching people who are close to us but not like us? People who are, that maybe you couldn't imagine ever coming to our church. Do you have a heart for those people? Are you trying to reach those people? Are you a Philip? If you are, I want you to be brave and I want you to stand up so we can see you. You ought to put your hand up, so you've got to stand up. Anyone else? I'm standing up. Any other Philips in the room? All right. There may be more, but thank you for being brave. Stay standing. Don't rush me. Because I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God will use you to help us go to new Samaritans. People that God loves, but maybe you're reaching, but we as a church aren't yet embracing. Please join me in prayer. Thank you, our God, for these folk who are standing here today. Thank you that they're seeing people that maybe we're not seeing, or connecting with people that we are not connected with. Thank you that they have identified that this is part of your work in their life, and that they are like Philip, going forward and wanting to bear witness to you, Jesus, with these people. So I pray, Lord, that you might use them. Use their words, use their actions, and that you might help them lead people to you. That if there are people that are seeking you, that because of their efforts, they may find you. And then I pray for us as a church, because these folk definitely need us as a church to come with them. And I would ask, Lord, that you'd open us all up to people who are close to us but not like us. And that maybe you could use us as your church to bear witness to your love and your grace and your goodness and your kindness, so that these people might know life with you, Jesus. This I ask in your name. Amen. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
In verse 4 of Acts 8, it says, those who'd been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And we're going to sing a song that talks a little about that, about taking Jesus, taking our who we are and what message we have wherever we go, and maybe even singing it. So let's stand together. As Jesus ascended into heaven after his resurrection, he declared, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Amen.